Turn with me, if you would, now to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. We just read Psalm 72 for our scripture reading. Our brother just read that for us. I had a hard time deciding between Psalm 72 and Luke 1 for our text tonight. So both of them will be our text tonight. You'll see in just a moment why I had a hard time deciding between the two. But both of them will be our text. I have something that is real for us. Whenever I think about us coming together and assembling, especially on a Wednesday night, I desperately beg the Lord to give me something for us. We have a dear sister here who's constantly asking me, "Do you have something good for us?" Well, I want to. And I have something that I pray will be very good to us. I have something that I pray will be made real to us. For where we are in life right now, this is something that will truly, truly help every time we find ourselves in a moment of need. Every time. We need this. I need this. You need this. There's something that I want to just hound to us tonight. And we're all going to see that we need to hear this. And we need to hear this often. Very, very often. We need to hear this with a very engaged ear and a tuned in heart. And I pray the Lord will give that to us tonight. I'm begging for that for myself. I studied, I wrote, and I am currently begging the Lord to tune my ear and my heart. Lord, let me hear what's about to be preached. Let me be a hearer that you bless by your Spirit. I pray the Lord will tune us into this because every aspect of our life depends on this. I don't know all the details of your life, and you don't know all the details of mine. But there are things, I know that there are because there always are. There are different things that we are all going through right now that are puzzling, painful, sorrowful, fearful. You, even as adults, we're so afraid of things, so afraid of possibilities, worrying, tiring. Some things are just tiring. Things in every facet of our life, things inside our homes, things inside our work, things in this world. We have real problems. We really do. We have past problems. We have current problems. We have future problems. But with everything that affects you, as these things affect you in your mind and in your heart, in your body, in your soul, with everything that affects you, may God cause this to overrule it all. Everything that affects you, may this be like a blanket that just lays over all of it. May this truly sink in to our hearts right now. All right, look with me at Luke chapter 1, verse 33. It says, "And he shall reign." Now, we have been in this chapter and in Matthew 1 so far the entire month of December. And I've been thinking on these stories and on everything here, but those three words right there have just been repeatedly going through my mind. He shall reign. He shall reign. This is what it means. Take a breather. That's what it means. Take a load off. You ever feel like you're carrying a load? Take a load off. All the stress. Does anybody have any stress? All the worry. Is anybody worried about anything? Anything. We're so worried that, you know, you may swallow water wrong and cough, and we're worried about everything right now. All the doubt, all the fear, take a breather. I hope this really honestly sinks in. I hope this comes in. Take a load off. He shall reign. That's the whole message. He shall reign. Sometimes the Lord, we know that, but sometimes we get a hold of it. He shall reign. Now, my aim is for those three words to become embedded in our minds, in our hearts, before we walk out of those doors. I'm telling you, that's the whole message. You just heard it. Just give me a few more minutes now. Before we walk out of these doors, if we can get a hold of those three words, we will walk out of here holding on to something. We really will. He shall reign in everything that means, in every facet and aspect of everything that pertains to us, spiritually, physically. That's judgment to the unbeliever, but that's salvation to the believer. He shall reign. That is absolute horror to an unbeliever, but that's absolute comfort to a believer. He shall reign. Whether we know it or not, some do and some don't. It is irrelevant. Whether we know it or not, he shall reign. Whether we remember it or not, sometimes we know it, but we forget it. And it's irrelevant. Either way, he shall reign. Whether we in our sinful flesh, you know the nature of this sinful flesh, whether we want it or not is irrelevant. Doesn't matter. Whether we in our sinful minds think we have the ability to allow it or not, totally irrelevant. He shall reign. Thank God, whether we deserve it or not, and we don't. Thank God he shall reign over his people. He shall reign. So are you in the middle of something right now? That's the question. You know, that's a common thing for us to say. We'll say, well, I'm kind of in the middle of something right now. Are you in the middle of something right now? See if this brings a moment of relief to you. He shall reign. He shall reign. He holds in his hand the outcome to whatever you're in the middle of right now. He holds in his hand. Fact is he puts you in the middle of it. He reigns. He shall reign. All you have to do is wait and see what his outcome is. this country and this world is in the middle of something right now. He is reigning. He shall reign because he is reigning. And he will keep on reigning. He holds in his hand the outcome of everything that this world is in the middle of right now. All we have to do is wait and see what his outcome is. He shall reign. Isaiah penned this. The Holy Spirit wrote it. But Isaiah penned this, and it's so true. He said, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth." He said, oh, how beautiful it is in those moments when we're sitting there thinking, this could go bad. This could go wrong. This could take a turn for the worse. Oh, how beautiful it is in those moments to hear, thy God reigneth. Thy God reigneth. He shall reign. He is going to keep his people. He is going to save his people. These are the only things that matter. Only things that matter. Doesn't matter if I eat bologna tomorrow or filet mignon. That's irrelevant. A lot of things that don't matter. But this is all that matters. He is going to keep his people. He is going to save his people. And he is going to protect his people. Now, I'm not going to keep anybody. I cannot save anybody. I cannot. I cannot protect anybody from anything. And the reason is because I don't reign. But he does, and he shall. He shall. That is a important middle word. When you just break that down. He shall reign. It's just wonderful. He shall. Turn with me now over to Psalm 72. Psalm 72, just under the title of Psalm 72, there is a heading that says, a psalm for Solomon. That word "for" translates "for," but it can also translate "of." And I know you've seen those before. I know you've seen those little headings under the psalm title. Sometimes it's hard to know if a psalm was written for the person mentioned in the heading or by the person mentioned in the heading, because it can be translated two ways. But in this case here, the last verse of Psalm 72, verse 20, it says, "The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended." So clearly David is the one who wrote this psalm. And he wrote it for his son Solomon, who would be king after David. In verse 1, he said, "Give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son." David is praying this for Solomon. When he wrote this, he had Solomon on his heart when he penned this. But again, the Holy Spirit is the one who wrote it. really. And even though David had Solomon on his heart, the Holy Spirit who inspired David had someone else on his heart. Psalm 72 is speaking of someone else besides Solomon. A greater than Solomon is here. This is speaking of the King who reigns, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All through this psalm, you heard our brother read it, it keeps saying, "He shall, he shall, he shall." I want to go down through it and just look at those times when he said, "He shall." The first one is verse 2. "He shall judge thy people with righteousness." What that means is the judge of the earth shall do right. Now let's bring that into the world we live in. Let's, you know, we read this and you go back thousands of years. Let's come right up into the world we live in. Bring it into the life that we are currently living in. In everything that is happening, he shall reign, and he shall reign rightly. Rightly. It is going to be said every time. It is going to be said. And I know that the things you've already experienced, you can look back and say, he did all things well. You can say that. In everything that we can turn around and look back on, we will always be able to say that. It will always be said, no matter how painful, no matter how whatever. His people will always say, he hath done all things well. The judge of the earth did right. He judged us rightly with righteousness. Verse 2 says, he shall judge thy people with righteousness and thy poor with judgment. That's who his people are. The poor. Not necessarily the poor in money, but most definitely the poor in spirit. Those who are unable to do for themselves. Totally unable. Totally unable. Can you do anything for yourself before God? Those who desperately need Christ to do it for them, those are his people. The poor and the needy, that is me. I find myself in that position all the time. Poor and needy. I'm not talking about money and things. Poor and needy before God. Poor and needy. Verse 4 says, he shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy and shall break in pieces the oppressor. He is going to reign. That's what he's saying. In judgment and in salvation. Whether he ruins or redeems, all judgment has been put into his hands. That's what John 5 says. The Father judges no man, but has put all judgment into the hands of the Son of God, Jesus Christ the Lord, all judgment, and he shall reign. Salvation is of the Lord. It is of the Lord. Salvation is a sovereign act of God Almighty. Damnation is a sovereign act of God Almighty. In all of it, he reigns. I want us to see a pattern here with everything that pertains to us. Verse 6, it says, he shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth, showers of blessing. He said, I'm the one who wounds, but he also said, I'm the one who heals. He is the one who cuts down. And he does. Whenever he calls one of his own to himself, he breaks sinners. He's the one who cuts down, but then he's also the one who comes down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth, to nourish and revive. Verse 8 says, "He shall have dominion also from sea to sea and from the river unto the ends of the earth." He has dominion from sea to sea. I love that verse. There is nothing that our God does not reign over. Nothing. There is nowhere where He does not reign. Nowhere. That brings so much comfort to me. Nowhere. Doesn't matter if we're here or on the other side of the world. Like when Brother Maurice Montgomery was heading out to the service and his father told him, "Son, God goes everywhere. God reigns everywhere." Nothing our God does not reign over. Nothing. You know, we're so torn up all the time. All the time. We will have a service and the Spirit and the Word will bring us back to the Lord. And then we'll go out and we will be torn all to pieces again over all these different things. And we come back and we hear the Word and we're helped and fed. And then we go out and we're torn all to pieces again. And the reason is because we think the lot really is cast into our lap. That's why. But the fact of the matter is, the whole disposing of everything is of the Lord. Everything. He's the one who has dominion over everything from sea to sea. Nothing is outside of His realm. Nothing outside of His control. Doesn't matter whether we're talking about life or death. Even in death, He reigned. That's glorious. Even in death, He reigns. Look with me at Psalm 139. Psalm 139, verse 1, it says, "O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit, or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, You're there, reigning, ruling. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from Thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to Thee. For Thou hast possessed my reins, Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." In creation, in salvation, in life, even in death, He conquered. He accomplished. He has reigned. There's nowhere where He has not reigned. Go back to Psalm 72. Verse 12 says, here are a few more "He shalls." Verse 12 says, "He shall deliver the needy when he crieth. The poor also in him that hath no helper." How did He deliver? He delivered through the death of His cross. He delivered through the death of His cross. Who did He deliver? Honestly, every soul who needs it. Every soul who truly, truly needs it. The needy, the poor, the one that has no helper, the one who honestly can say, I don't have any helper besides you. Whom have I besides thee? Where else can I go but to you? People say all the time, well, you know, now the Lord helps those who help themselves. That is not true. The Lord is the helper of those who cannot help themselves. Verse 13 says, He shall spare the poor and needy and shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall their blood be in His sight. He shall deliver, He shall spare, He shall redeem. He'll pay the price. He'll save to the uttermost, even in death. His death for His people, even in that, He shall reign. He reigns everywhere. Over in Isaiah 42, I'll be very brief, but over in Isaiah 42, turn with me over there. This is one of my favorite announcements. Isaiah 42. This is the Father speaking of the Son. Verse 1 says, Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. Verse 4 says, He shall not fail till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. He shall not fail. He shall save, he shall reign. His payment shall reign. His blood shall reign. His accomplishment shall reign. His satisfaction shall reign. Now look back at Psalm 72. Verse 15 says, And he shall live. We just sang a moment ago, Jesus, the Savior, reigns, the God of truth and love. When he had purged our stains, he took his seat above. Lift up your heart, lift up your voice, rejoice. Again, I say, rejoice. Verse 17, right here in Psalm 72, it says, His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in Him. Ephesians 1 tells us everything is in Him. Everything is in Him. All spiritual blessings are all in Him. It goes on to say, All nations shall call Him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. Now, this is what I want us to get a hold of. If He reigned in all of creation, and if He reigned in all of salvation, and if He will reign from eternity to eternity, then this moment in time is no different. It's no different. It's not that there was a time when He used to reign, and there will be a time in the future where He will reign again. That's not the case. He has reigned. He is reigning. And He shall reign. There is no chaos with His people. We think there is, but there's not. There's no confusion. There is no chance. There is no chance with His people. None. There is only His reign. That's all there is. Verse 17 says, His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun. And men shall be blessed in Him. All nations shall call Him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things in His reign. That's all that He does for His people. Wondrous things. He only does all things well. Verse 19 says, And blessed be His glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with His glory. Amen and amen. That means so be it and so be it. That means I agree and I agree. Thank God and thank God. At all times, in all things, for all eternity, He shall reign. That verse there in Luke 1 went on to say, Over the house of Jacob and of his kingdom, there shall be no end. All right, let's all stand together.